This episode is brought to you by Audible, the audiobook service with more than 180,000 titles to choose from. Get a free audiobook and a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/game.
Ahoy, hoy, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Retronauts Micro. I am your host, Bob Mackey, and today's topic is Bart's Nightmare, the video game Bart's Nightmare. And before I start, who else is here with me today?
Dangerous Bubblegum, Henry Gilbert.
And?
Oh, boy, Bob! Wait, this is not that show?
No, Chris, this is Retronauts. Wake up.
Oh, okay. I'm Chris Antista, and I like The Simpsons, but not this game.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. And who else?
Hi there, it's Dave Rudden.
Well, Smiling Joe Fishman is here with us. And yeah. Dave approached me in a dark alley, yes. And he said, "You must have me on this episode." And I said, "The more people talking about Bart's Nightmare, the better."
Yeah.
And in case you don't realize this, Chris, Henry, myself, sometimes Dave, we do a podcast called Talking Simpsons. It is a chronological exploration of The Simpsons on the Laser Time Podcast Network every Wednesday.
Yeah, baby.
And my idea is to sort of revisit the not necessarily high points of Simpsons games, because there are very few, but some of the more memorable games.
This is the high point for Simpsons console games.
Until the Xbox 360 Simpsons game.
That game's terrible.
Until Simpsons Hit and Run, which I swear...
That's the best console
game. Is the best console game.
It is.
Let's say pre-9/11.
Pre-9/11, yeah. Yes.
Simpsons game.
The EA one is not good. It just... has all the voices and custom animation. It is technically terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But that game is like 2 hours of terrible platforming gameplay.
It's more than that.
But did I say two? I meant 30. It's really long.
2 hours stretched into 30.
Yeah, with great cutscenes.
There's great writing. I mean, one of my favorite jokes from that era is Bart saying, "The Simpsons game, isn't that where we pretend Dad isn't an alcoholic?"
Yes.
So I was like, wow, this is dark for my Simpsons video game. But yeah, I mean, we do the Talking Simpsons podcast. Mm-hmm. We have done a Simpsons episode, video game episode for Retronauts. We did Bart versus the Space Mutants. Mm-hmm. That's Micro 55. Please look that up at Retronauts.com or just look through your podcast directory. You'll find it. But yeah, I wanted to talk about Bart's Nightmare. Came out in September of 1992. And I just want to know what our experience is with it. I think I want to start with Dave, because he seems to have the strongest connection to this game.
I mean, I think I'm going to have a somewhat similar experience in that, like, I mostly rented it. I currently own it just because, you know, like, when I got a Super Nintendo for the second time, I was just like, oh, I'll buy anything, you know, that shows up in our GameStop because I have a 25% discount, so...
you worked there.
Yeah,
quit
so...
Quit bragging.
Yeah, but then I, you know... it was like the lion's share of the time I played it was renting it and then figuring out stuff when I rented it for the second time, then the third time, and the fourth time. Because even though
it doesn't tell you anything,
you just might
stumble upon a solution.
I wouldn't say it's a particularly good game. It's
terrible.
There's something about it that is like, well, this time I feel like I can get all the pages. Mm-hmm. You never do.
It does
this
trick you.
Time.
Yeah,
I actually didn't rent it until the Genesis version later because I had just been burned by previous Simpsons rentals that as a kid who couldn't just rent whatever game they felt like had to, you got one rental every, like in my house, we went out to the rent a video game like once a month and you get one pick. And I was not going to pick another Simpsons game after Space Mutants and
the world.
One other before that. I mean, this is
landing in the middle of the awful NES Bart trilogy, Space Mutants versus the World and Meets Radioactive Man.
I would say the worst trio of games.
Pretty
Bart
much.
Versus the Jaggernauts. Awful, awful American Gladiators ripoff.
Yeah, there are worse Game Boy games, I think, than the NES trilogy.
Yeah. Mm. But Radioactive Man is the worst.
It's terrible.
Strangely.
It's joyless. It's awful.
It's really bad.
Weirdly, this was the best Simpsons game when it came out. I mean, not counting the arcade game.
Yeah.
But the best console Simpsons game because it was just like...
I take that back. It's actually Krusty Super Funhouse.
Oh.
But it's like, it's so unfair.
It's not even a Simpsons game, really.
It's like a reskinned
Rat Trap.
But did you rent it as well, Chris?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I wasn't allowed to have that many games. And I don't think I want to say I knew enough that this should not be the game I buy.
Yes.
This should not. Street Fighter or Bart's Nightmare. But it looked really cool in previews because you just see that's a giant picture of Bart as Godzilla.
Yeah. I mean, the graphics look a lot better. I mean, I only rented it. I learned from Space Mutants, you do not buy a Simpsons game. I did not buy that one, but that taught me, like, these games you don't buy. You poke at them for a weekend and then you forget about them. But Bart's Nightmare, just some cursory info, was developed by Sculptured Software, not Imagineering, who did the Bart trilogy on the NES. They existed for a long time, almost 20 years, 1985 to 2002. They weren't terrible, but they just kind of made mediocre stuff. I mean... Yeah. Dave and Chris and Henry might know they made some of the SNES WWF games.
Yeah. Okay,
like Superstars and things like that.
Stars Raw.
Did they eventually become Iguana?
Iguana West or Iguana something. West. Or Acclaim West, and then Iguana was their last name, like Iguana North.
The logo of, like, no bearing on quality could be, go either way. It could be NBA Jam or it could be South Park.
Yeah,
it had an Iguana on it.
I think they even did, like, Mortal Kombat ports for SNES, so maybe, like, Mortal Kombat 1 and 2 and 3.
So the worst versions of them.
Yeah, I think MK2 for SNES was pretty good.
I think Acclaim purchased them outright due to their chops and being able to port stuff.
Yeah. I mean, they, much like they did with The Simpsons, their WWF games were the best ones because the ones on the NES were so bad. It was this is an upgrade.
A similar bad situation, though. Then when it moved on to the next generation, knew, like, oh, if Acclaim publishes wrestling game, no, thank you. Yeah.
That would be every wrestling game, I think, until, the N64 era?
Mm-hmm. Well, that era, THQ was making the good ones. Yeah. First with WCW, and then WWF.
And we talked all about this on a previous Retronauts about
that's
wrestling.
Right, WrestleNauts. I forget which number that is. It's way back in our independent
long
run.
A long time ago. That was one of, like, your first Kickstarter acts.
Yeah. That was a 2013 episode, I want to say.
Thank you, listener, who requested us to do that one.
You got your wish. But so there was a Genesis version of this game. It came out a year later in 93. We're going to be focusing on the SNES version. It's the first one. Of course, it's a Nintendo game, Chris. I mean, we're Nintendo nuts, first and foremost. But what's interesting about this game, unlike any other Simpsons game before it, the Simpsons had three seasons under its belt by this time. So as this game is releasing for SNES, the Simpsons is entering season 4. And this game strikes me as a mix of, like, the premise of the game feels like Bart gets an F, stealing from that, where Bart needs to finish something by the next day or whatever. It's just sort of like a little borrowing of that, but you see more of the show. Oh, there we go. You see more of the show, but unfortunately, you don't hear the opening song. That's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
as we established in the Space Mutants episode, only on the NES did they pay for the Danny Elfman song, and I think all the rest were like, the Simpsons license itself was probably so expensive that, like, where do you have budget to license a theme song from a TV show that has to be like $1 million?
Yeah. I mean, you hear in the Nightmare Overworld, you hear bum, 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 bum. That's all you hear. Which I think is, even that's illegal. Even doing that's illegal, probably.
I think they got away with it by making a saxophone a fucking enemy.
They
could just blare out whatever it wants.
The saxophone did it.
Dude, that Overworld is one of the most insane things in the universe. And in hindsight, playing it again for this, it really is a nightmare. No, it really feels like David Lynchian in its presentation towards, like, a waking nightmare.
Yeah, like, I can't walk properly. Like, that's a thing in a dream that happens all the time.
But, like, and shit is echoing. Yeah. Everything has an echo.
It's about as fun as a real nightmare. I mean, they captured that element of it. Before we get to how it plays, I want to go over a few more things. Like, this is the first of two Simpsons minigame collections. The second is much worse, Virtual Bart. There is no saving grace in that game. I feel like there's one good minigame in this collection here.
Yeah.
Virtual Bart is nothing but trash.
I like the Tomato Throne game, but
it's okay as a weird tech demo. Yeah. Like, wow, this is like almost 3D in a way. But
though there's no more specific a reference of a minigame in this as there is of, like, the Mount Splashmore H2O slide.
And that's just, you have to remember the different paths, because otherwise you can't pass it.
Yeah. Or you'll hit Homer the taint.
It's a much better reference than anything in this game.
It is, really. So, I mean, I feel like with this game in particular, I feel like they got feedback from the artists or people to draw art for them to use, because there are some, like, strangely on-model things. Yeah. Bart looks good. The huge graphics like Bartzilla and Momthra and King Homer, those all look really good. I feel like there was definite more quality control over this one than Space Mutants and every other crappy thing that came before.
I searched the credits for a familiar name, but they didn't seem to credit anybody from the Simpsons production.
Interesting.
But a lot of Fox people.
Okay, okay.
So maybe they had some model sheets to work with, and just a tiny bit more processing power. So.
Well, the 16 bits allowed Bart not to look like a duck.
He has whites in his eyes.
Yeah, amazing.
God, he's so ugly in those NES games. They could have made his sprite better in Versus the World, and at least in Radioactive Man, but that sprite is just so ugly.
Yeah, you're right, though. It is so totally Bart gets an F, which is, if you don't know, is the first episode of season two where Bart is being threatened to be held back if he gets another F. Yep. He's doing very poorly, and so he's trying to study. There's the snow day, and then he falls asleep while trying to learn about the Constitutional Congress.
Yeah. Right, right.
Technically the first episode of Talking Simpsons.
For you cheapskates out there.
I'm just kidding. I love everybody. So the premise of this game is, so Bart falls asleep, has a nightmare. For some reason, the homework pages are located in his nightmare, although they blow out the window in the real world.
It's like the episode, Bart gets an F where he falls asleep and meets the Founding Fathers.
Exactly.
So like, it's very weird that this game only references the first season, like, to a fault, even more than like the arcade game, which was already out and better.
Well, I mean, King Homer's in this game, so
that's true.
Season three,
my bad.
And this is season two.
But he's not black and white.
That's
there,
true.
I'm right.
and I was angry about that. But yeah, I mean, so Bart, he has to get 8 pages of homework from this nightmare world.
Yeah.
And to do that, he has to survive long enough in the hub world to find a page. And that page will bring him to one of two different mini games out of a total of six.
Yeah. But can you describe the hub world
mad? The hub world is basically a war of attrition against you. It's like, everything is out to kill you. You need to survive long enough to find a page just to escape.
You're walking the street with evil mailboxes.
An endless street.
Mm-hmm. Walking in both directions looking for... hope against hope that you'll find a page. There's no guarantee there'll be a page
paper
anywhere.
Paper will fly by.
It's like a random element.
But
to the game.
We raced it.
Yeah.
On Laser Time's Racer Time. And like, there's no guarantee you'll find a page by walking in any direction. Mm-hmm. It is literally random. Mm-hmm. All the while, mailboxes are trying to kill you. Yeah. Old ladies kiss you and turn you into frogs.
Yeah.
Flying saxophones curse you and make you walk backwards. Mm-hmm. Reverse your controls.
Principal Skinner will put a suit on you, which will make you walk slowly.
It's literally a nightmare. It sounds like the Simpsons theme is playing backwards and echoed. David Lynch presents the Simpsons game.
Your saving grace is that you can use bubble gum, blow bubbles, and knock Z's into your life bar to extend it.
Yeah, I mean,
none of it makes sense.
Oh, that you get turned into a frog by Lisa as a fairy, and you can get turned back if you find an old lady and her kisses.
To kiss you, yeah.
But her kisses normally hurt you if you're not a frog.
Exactly.
It's
and if you run into Jimbo and Dolph, they will like grab you and walk with you, steer you into like danger. Mm. And if you walk up to Fairy Lisa, she will turn them into frogs or squirrels or something. So there are a lot of cute, interesting ideas, but they're only there to punish you.
Yeah.
So you can't really appreciate them. But things look like how they should for the most part. And
Skinner is like he's in his more purple season.
That's right,
one
it's like lavender kind of.
And
when he was still like making weird like faux pas conversation things in his speeches,
rusty
like
leather,
Medley, and the head of the head of Jebediah Springfield also is in there, which I feel like was the only season one episode most game makers watch. Like,
yeah, you jump over them.
If there's one thing Bart did, it was saw the head off of Jebediah
and
Springfield.
He came back so often. Yeah, so I don't know if I mentioned this, but you have one life bar for the entire game that has to last you through every visit of that hub world. So it is like just a battle against your soul where everything is wearing down against you. You want to get out of this hub world into much worse gameplay.
But I forget what it is that spawns Z's. Like, I think you have to like jump over things and that spawns a Z. Then you have to blow the bubble, knock the Z. And if it
randomly spawns a Z. It doesn't always spawn a Z.
If the Z is outside of your life bar, doesn't matter.
Yeah,
you have to position the entire screen so that the Z goes up into the life
bar. And you control the bubble gum bubble independently while you're frozen there, so you can get hit by enemies while you're controlling the bubble gum bubble.
It's like you want to call it lazy game design, but it's so fucking complicated.
There are so many ideas, but they only exist to hurt you and make you upset.
Also, there's those trees on the bottom level that can just block your vision entirely. Yes. Like, they cover everything.
If this came out now, like, people would marvel at how like layered the hub world is. And how
it's
many
like Dark Souls.
Yeah.
There'd be posts every week, like, did you know you could do this in Bart's Nightmare's hub world? Because the manual doesn't tell you. The game doesn't tell
Bart's
you.
Nightmare HD Remake 2018, everybody. Do not kickstart it. So let's go over these mini games.
Yeah.
So the first one, I'm just going in random order, the ones I played played it again. What's that?
So does the game. You find a page.
Oh, that's true,
and you approach a door. Unless you have the colors memorized, you don't know where you're going to go.
Yeah, one of two colors. You got to choose one of two doors.
Sometimes red and blue.
Yeah. So Bartzilla is obviously a takeoff on season three's Treehouse of Horror King Homer segment. Mm-hmm. You basically, for one part of the segment, you are walking to the right side of the screen. using very complicated controls to blow up things in front of you, above you, and below you, yeah. like artillery and like the army is coming after you. This is one of many mini games in this collection with no music. Just it plays out eerily and like eerie, not silence,
dreamlike,
just sound effects.
Yeah.
I think it's more laziness, Chris.
But all the work went into making Bartzilla that sprite, and that's it.
I have a theory that every other reference in this game is a season one reference, except for this. And it's just like, I think somebody said, this game sucks. We need one more thing.
There are a lot of season one references in this game. You're right.
Is this, I know the itchy and scratchy one is broken up in, like, there, you play it twice, you get two different homework pages. Is this one also two
I
parts?
I think it's actually Indiana Bart is the second, the other game with two levels, which is, okay, we'll get to how bad that
well,
is in a second.
So I was pissed off as a kid because what I got it for was to be Bartzilla.
Yeah.
Seeing that picture, I was like,
the only
that
picture
looks
they showed.
So cool. And when I play it, when you play it, it's like, this isn't fun enough. Like, it should feel awesome to be Godzilla and just smash everything. Because you know what defines Godzilla? It's that when a tank shoots at him, it doesn't do anything. Yeah. Instead, they all hurt
you. They seriously kill you. It's more like piloting like a mannequin on wheels.
It's kind of like an
that's Godzilla size.
It's like an endless runner. Yeah. Like, you don't control Bart's movement. You only control how he can interact with the environment.
Yeah, and the second part of this stage, so the first part is you walking from right to left, left to right, to get to this building. Then you climb the building to take out King Homer.
Yeah.
You're just dodging things people are throwing at you and also dodging Mothra. Mm-hmm. And I feel like some of these are possibly, like, I don't think a game today would do a straight-up Godzilla parody. I feel like they'd be, because Toei is kind of, like, litigious, right, with Godzilla stuff?
They're very protective
even with parodies,
of Godzilla, yes.
But, I like the design for Mothra. I'm like, some Simpsons artist drew this. No one at Sculptured Software came up with this design.
I mean, I know this is a dream, so, you know, things, like, everything.
This is all what Bart imagined.
But there's a continuity error right within that stage that Bart is bigger than buildings.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. Then he climbs a building that is way bigger than him.
He's
what is
maybe
going on?
One story tall in that. And, I noticed, too, you could read all the bystanders who are dropping junk out their window as Japanese, but definitely one is the Fugu chef, which is a season two
that's
reference.
Right.
Who he has on his bandana and everything. The bad Fugu chef. Not the one who's having sex with Mr.
This
Garofalo.
Is the only level with anything beyond season one, which leads me to believe it was created last because it sucks so much.
the second half of the level is also notable in that, in the Super Nintendo version at least, someone drops a Sega Genesis out of the window
at you. That's true,
So a Sega Genesis is like the size of Bartzilla, which also doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. It should be the Xbox original.
I don't know if they did the Genesis version have like a console dropped out of any windows?
Oh, I don't know. I wonder.
Sega would be cool with that. I don't think Nintendo would be.
Yeah, I think they'd be more worried of a suit. But then again, it was the Wild West back then, and there weren't lawsuits. So he gets to the top of the thing, and King Homer is there. Now, I am of two minds there. King Homer has black fur, but it is because he's black and white. That entire scene there wasn't an in the show. Colorized King Homer. However, if King Homer is a changed version of Homer, and we know that Homer, when he had hair, had brown hair, then shouldn't his whole body hair be brown?
That's true. And I think it might be more of a like a Rampage reference in that killing King Homer makes him into a human again or whatever. That's what it kind of feels like.
You didn't need the King Homer Halloween special to imagine Homer as King Kong or as an ape.
As a giant ape, yeah. I mean, he was Bigfoot in season one, basically. Mm-hmm. He was mistaken for Bigfoot.
Putting episode, he even just does the like dance.
Oh, that's right.
The giant monkey. They
mm-hmm.
do that joke so many times.
It's true. It's an easy one to make. So if we're done with Bartzilla,
I have a completion noise.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
because
sure.
This is important because if you haven't listened to Talking Simpsons, it's the three of us and occasionally Dave going very thoroughly through The Simpsons. Season one is exclusive to patrons at patreon.com/LaserType, so you might not have heard it. One of two references that comes out of a season one episode is Homer's Odyssey.
Mm.
And I made it a point to mention it in that Talking Simpsons episode, but I didn't have the comparison sound effect. So when you get a page on select levels, not every level.
Oddly pitch shifted.
Yeah. Pitch shifted, In the beginning of Homer's Odyssey, the kids are going to the nuclear power plant on a field trip.
Oh.
And Bart's forced to sing in front of the bus.
John Henry?
Da 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 da! Whoa! They took Bart Simpson to the graveyard, and they buried him in the sand. Oh yeah! And every locomotive that comes roaring,
I'm sure
there lies a steam.
Bart,
man, Lord, Lord, oh, there lies.
Okay, Bart, enough.
I'm sure we remarked upon that 2 years ago, but I can't remember.
We did, but like that's what this is, and I got it because I'm like, I'm gonna get him. They stole a licensed song. It's fucking John Henry. They didn't pay anything.
I'm pretty sure they sampled "Duh" and "Whoa," and they played "Duh" on different keyboard keys. That's what it sounds like da 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 da.
That could have happened.
I was making keyboard noises with my fingers, by the way, or motions.
Yes.
I always thought like
I've always wanted to play this.
I did not remember that specific reference. Season but one, every no time I heard Bart say that in the game, I thought he was literally humming like the Simpsons theme.
Yeah. Yeah, not
just in a weird pitch shifted way.
They were not allowed to use it except for the one time they did. So we'll move on to it's not really named, I just call it Bloodstream. Mm-hmm. Bart is somehow in maybe his own Bloodstream, I don't know. Yeah. He's sort of like a Dig Dug style character, and then he's swimming in this body void, and he has to basically dodge and/or blow up viruses and collect 5 Smilin' Joe fissions. A super early, again, Homer's Odyssey reference.
Yeah, you got Smilin' Joe.
Hi there!
So if I'm accurately recreating the game,
pretty much, yeah,
it's awful.
But this is the only game that I would say is even remotely easy.
We called it the easiest.
It's the gimme.
It's the one you can pass.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why you collect 5 of this guy in your bloodstream. There's no reason. And also, no one cares about Smilin' Joe Fission. He was sort of the pre-Troy McClure character in the educational film setting.
Yes.
Well, and he was supposed to look like the Cleveland Indians mascot.
That's right. Oh. Yeah.
And this is him from, I believe, Homer's Odyssey as well.
I think so, yeah.
I don't know, but I know someone who does. Smilin' Joe Fission.
Hi there, Energy Eaters! I'm Smilin' Joe Fission, your atomic tour guide to the strange and exciting world of nuclear power. And these are rods of uranium-235. Hi, Rod.
Hey, Rod.
How you doing, Rod?
Good to see
you.
It's just now we have the second character sampled for the game.
Yes.
It's
Barney, and probably last, right?
Smilin' Joe Fusion. That's it. I even went to like check Barney's burp. It is not.
Oh, it's totally not.
No, it is not
totally
Barney's burp. Which, again, I just found out that was Dan Castellaneta went over and over trying to record a burp. That is his burp.
That's like the perfect burp recorded in 1991.
He wanted
Sealed
to find
amber.
One burp that was perfect, and he's like, please use that one every time. And it's a real person's burp. Yeah. Ugh.
It's so perfect. It's so
I not like how Rick on Rick and Morty just does a new burp every time.
And it sounds
like
you just can't be satisfied.
you can hear what he's bringing up with it too, unlike the clean Barney burp. So okay, and again, the Bloodstream level, no music. It just plays out like in just this eerie background sound.
This is this weird kind of dirge. Like you can even hear it slightly with it's like dur dur dur. Yeah.
Interesting, yeah.
A very video gamey, you know, sound.
So the next level is, I think, the best one, but it's still pretty monotonous. It just plays the most like an actual video game that you'd want to sit with.
It's a real game.
And that's Bartman. I mean, what's the most fun about this, and I feel like, again, this is probably a Simpsons artist bringing this to the developer, but you play as Bart, you have a slingshot, you're flying around, it's like a shoot 'em up. There's no power-ups or anything fun like that. But the coolest thing is seeing different Simpsons characters attack you in different aircraft. I mean, and there's some novelty value in that.
Yeah. Mm. I know, it is cool to see all the ones they pull out, and
it's the best sprite work other than the Godzilla in the game.
Yeah, and they get to sneak in with Barney, and Barney is not a season 1 blonde design, it is a season 2 Barney, that he's on a pink elephant, which is the closest to like an alcohol reference you would get on a Super NES game.
A reference to the hallucinations of Dumbo before he meets some racist crows.
I mean, is that reference to like alcohol withdrawal?
Yeah.
Because like the DTs is what they used to call them, and I would see references to that on a lot of old things. Yeah. Not anymore. Maybe they call it just withdrawal now.
How dry I am. Yeah. You can ask me.
But you apparently do see pink elephants when you're
on parade.
Yeah. Mm. But I mean, The main appeal for this, for me, is just seeing the characters in fun little outfits and fun little aircraft. Like, Burns is in a Zeppelin, I think?
No. The Zeppelin is Smithers.
Oh, Smithers. Burns is in a biplane.
Smithers is
trillion-dollar biplane.
Yeah. Smithers looks terrible.
He looks kind of like Faye because his legs are crossed and one leg's, like, dangling daintily.
But he also has, like, green hair.
That's true, yeah.
He's way off.
I think because his hair is the same color as the sky.
But I'm glad that Apu is his friend.
Yeah.
I think him giving the jerky is a reference to the season 2 joke that he said he was writing the script. Hands off my jerky, turkey.
Oh, right.
Man, that those power-ups that he gives you, like those health things are so minuscule. Like the life bar that both this and the Itchy and Scratchy game use, like one hit will take off so much of your energy. And if you grab a jerky or soda or whatever, It gives you a sliver. And it's,
they're not very kind to you.
Fans of Kingdom Hearts will recognize that health bar.
That's true.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah, I do love that animated health bar.
I love how it turns into like a skeleton bar when you lose all of your health.
It's,
but
it's like the reverse of the GamePro point system. Like.
The one thing I noticed, though, is like Apu is riding a magic carpet, and I'm like, dude, you got the wrong casual racism. Yeah, he's perfect. Indian, not Arabian or Persian or whatever you want to say. So,
There's also Sherry and Terry in a hot air balloon.
Oh, sorry, a hot air balloon, yeah.
And then Nelson goes by in a hang glider, and boy, I think that's
Burns
all.
Burns in a biplane.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I like
trillionaire biplane.
And I also did like the kind of subtle physics to the your slingshot, especially like I think it does change the arc of your shot when it goes through the cloud.
It goes faster if you hold it down,
and when it goes through a cloud, like clouds slow it down.
It's the most well made. I wish there was more to it. I wish there were like power ups or like different kinds of shots. I feel like you could develop
that
this into a real game.
And Bart gets electrocuted, and you can see his Bart skeleton.
That's true. With like a pointy. Does he have a pointy skull?
Yes,
like,
he does.
His hair points are part of his skull. So figure that out. So the next one is
last thing about that part of the game is. I wish it had no music.
Oh,
that song will never leave my head.
Yeah, it's almost as bad as the Back to the Future NES song.
This is all Western development at its worst.
Oh, yeah.
It sucks.
And Bartman's shirt isn't light blue enough. It is light-ish blue, but
they had to make it look different
than
the sky, though.
Yeah, I know, but it's still off-model.
That's true.
Writing is my passion, but there's no money in the written word these days. It's all about talking, like podcasts. And there's no better way to embrace the future of literacy than with a subscription to Audible's enormous audiobook library. With 180,000 different books available, Audible presents the modern talking version of the written word for your entertainment and edification. Right now, Audible is offering Retronauts listeners a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/game. That includes influential nonfiction works, like Eric Schlosser's Fast Food Nation, which did for takeout what Upton Sinclair's The Jungle did for the meatpacking biz. Play Fast Food Nation on your car stereo while picking up lunch, and you'll definitely think twice when they ask you if you want to supersize it. Exercise your brain and save your eye some strain by downloading a free audiobook at audibletrial.com/game.
Okay, here are some really surprising car facts for you. In Churchill, Canada, residents leave their cars unlocked. That's in case someone needs to escape a polar bear. It's true. And in Sweden, drivers are required by law to keep their headlights on at all times. Day, night, rain, sunshine, doesn't matter. And now, here's another interesting and actually helpful thing about cars that you might not know. TrueCar also helps people get used cars. That's right. TrueCar isn't just for new cars. Their certified dealer network also has an inventory of over 700,000 pre-owned cars nationwide. So whether you're looking for a new or used car, you can get real pricing on actual inventory and a better buying experience through the TrueCar certified dealer network. Oh yeah, here's another fun fact. TrueCar customers can see if they're getting a good or great price before they buy. They're also more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with their TrueCar certified dealers. So when you're ready to buy that car, new or used, visit TrueCar and enjoy a better car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
This is Jay Moore. I have a new sports podcast every day. More sports. Hashtag more sports. You don't even have to know anything about sports to love it. All you got to know is I get down. I tell it like it is. I curse. I know. That's weird. And I guarantee you will love it. Podcast One app. Please hit subscribe.
Dell Gaming creates machines to make every experience more intense and real. From powerful Dell Gaming PCs with Intel Core processors to the ultimate Alienware VR-ready experience, there's a PC designed to bring your best game at every level. Because the best feature of a gaming machine is the power to make you forget it's there. Don't just play, game. Visit Dell.com/gaming to learn more. That's Dell.com/gaming.
Our driveway snowed in!
Old Man Winter! That's right. I fill your driveways with ice and snow. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. That's what. Stop.
Mr. Plow!
Get out, you lousy season. All right, I'm going. My head hurts. I have to lie down for a while.
Yay!
Hello, I'm Mr. Plow. Are you tired of having your hands cut off by snow blowers and the inevitable heart attacks that come with shoveling snow?
Uh-huh.
Then call Klondike 53226. Call now and receive a free t-shirt.
But I'm a real tightwad. Can I afford this remarkable system?
Absolutely. My prices are so low, you'll think I've suffered brain damage.
You are fully bonded and licensed by the city, aren't you, Mr. Plow?
Shut up, boy.
Ah!
So remember, call Mr. Plow. That's my name. That name again is Mr. Plow.
And caller number 9 for $1 million. Rita, complete this quote. Life is like a box of...
chocolates.
Rita, you're cutting out. We need your answer.
Life is like a box of chocolates.
Oh, sorry. That's not what we were looking for. On to caller number 10.
Bad network got you glitched out of luck? Switch to Boost Mobile's super reliable, super fast nationwide network and get 4 lines, each with unlimited gigs for just $100 a month. Plus, get 4 free phones. Boost makes it easy to switch. Switching makes it easy to save.
So the next level is something that's always baffled me. Like throughout my entire life, I still think about it. It's the Indiana Bart level, which I guess could be a reference to whatever season 3 episode that was with the Raiders parody opening. Was that Bart's Friend Falls in Love,
I think? Bart's Friend Falls in Love, the season 3 finale.
It's true. But I have no idea what the mechanics are. All I know is that you're traveling from the beginning to the end. You're hopping on pillars. Sometimes you hop on a pillar and another pillar will rise. Sometimes other pillars will fall. And the blue devil is chasing you because if he would be red, that would be satanic, kids. But and the blue devil...
Is he red in the Genesis version?
He's not. He's still blue.
All right.
And there's a green one, too, that pops up, too.
Yeah.
I think whipping eggs gives you extra lives.
And the Maggie statues in the background spit their pacifiers at you. If this sounds like nonsense... It is. I don't blame you at home for being like, what are they talking about?
This was my, like, I think a couple times I would get to a B plus or an A minus in the game. Could never beat this one because it's just too, like, I'd never got all the rules down.
Yeah, like watching a Let's Play, reading a FAQ, playing it myself, I'm like, this is still baffling to me. This feels like a Mensa test or something. And you have to play it twice to get all the pages because, like the next thing we'll talk about, there are two versions of this you need to play through because there are 6 mini games but 8 pages. So,
but the devil, when it pops up, it's facing the camera and so it looks weird. But then when it is facing Bart, it is exactly the devil first scene in the Bart gets hit by a car
season 2
when Bart goes to hell. Yes,
they are reaching a little further, but they oddly are sticking to season 1. Anything else on this? It bothers me. It still bothers me now. Like, how dare you put this in a game? Like, who thought this was good?
I guess that there's no real walking, that it's jumping from platform to platform is purely that. I guess it's kind of like Hubert, but I feel like there's a more apt game that it's ripping off.
And I'm sure whoever grew up with this game will leave me a nasty comment like, it's so easy, but I can't wrap my brain around it. I'm sorry, dudes. So the last level that we're getting to and the last one in the game is Itchy and Scratchy, which I think it's fun in theory, but the execution sucks. It could have been like a fun Simpsons arcade-style brawler, and I feel like they were sort of inspired by the Simpsons arcade game, but they didn't know how to do it as well as Konami, and that's apparent. I mean,
one-hit kills are what like really sinks it.
Yeah,
like,
I mean...
once in a while you'll have fun, but then like you'll get hit by a flamethrower and die instantly, and it's like well... That sucked.
Basically, Itchy and Scratchy run onto the screen, do their attack, and then run away, and you have to kill them in every room. Mm-hmm. And then there are also things like the vacuum cleaners that will kill you immediately because fire kills Bart instantly. There are like phones that attack you. It's very odd. I mean, I love the Itchy and Scratchy sprites in this.
They're the best done sprites in it. They're exactly right. Even when they pull out the ones in their chef costumes specifically from Itchy and Scratchy and Marge. That's the one where Maggie is inspired to try to stab Homer with a pin by watching them in those outfits. So it is. That was the last of like the direct references I noticed in the game.
And Bart's idle animation in this level, not even idle. You just stop moving. And he does this. He's just like panting in a panicked way. It's kind of disturbing.
I kind of like it that he's because he doesn't really walk in that stage. He either runs or stands still.
That's true. Yeah.
And so if he's always running and everything's trying to kill him, I think that's good acting on the sprite's part of like, what's next? What's next?
And I think season 9 or 10 Halloween episode would have this premise where Bart and Lisa kind of to fight Itchy and Scratchy or have to survive in Itchy and Scratchy world.
And then Itchy and Scratchy come into their world.
They land on Regis and Kathy Lee, I think.
Yeah. I did like how in a beat-em-up fashion, Bart would get various weapons. Like, I think your standard thing is a mallet, but you get like a... plunger gun and
fire extinguisher.
You know that plunger 9mm, that's also from Itchy and Scratchy and Marge, but that's what Maggie shoots at Homer at the end when she's inspired to attack Homer again once violence has returned.
I was going
to
say, it's also from A Streetcar Named Marge, that's season 4. So they hadn't seen that yet. And maybe, no, I Love Lisa. It was like Hasta La Vista, AB, with these suction cup guns. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, those were Nerf balls. Never mind, I'm bad.
It is one of the most realistic gun sprites I've ever seen in a game with a plunger stuck inside.
Yeah, that kind of struck me as odd. It's like, this is a really realistic gun, but it's
a Glock.
It's okay for kids.
I don't know if... I don't think Danny Elfman would have made that song particularly, but this is another instance where there's a song you can use, but you're not. There is a weird cartoon theme playing during this. Mm. I can't remember it for the life of me, but it's definitely not the Itchy and Scratchy theme.
I can hear it in my head now. I refuse to sing it on this podcast. Yeah. But again, it's like the Bartman song. There's 15 seconds of music basically in the loops.
But like Bartman, well, I mean, Bart, there's the song The Bartman, but that you wouldn't associate it with the flying Bartman.
No, Bartman didn't make an appearance in the song Do the Bartman at all.
No, Bartman is just a dance. There is not the character Bartman.
Yeah. And I mean, the Itchy and Scratchy song itself is like 15 seconds long, so why not just loop that? But I'm guessing it's another rights thing.
I mean, that would have been like hell anyway to hear that 15 second thing but looped and looped.
The last boss of this, if you can call it that, is you fight an evil furnace.
Yeah.
It's not even anthropomorphized in any way.
It's a Shining reference.
No. It's either that or Home Alone.
Shut up.
But like, why don't you fight like a giant Itchy or giant Scratchy? I mean, they appear in the second version of this level, like behind
it's
doors.
It's a very boring way to end that level. Yeah. Just like a stationary furnace. And the long play, I didn't replay it before this, but the long play I watched of it that was like a no-death play of it, the guy just stands, the player just stands back and shoots fire sparks for like 5 minutes to get up as high a score as he can. Walks up like, killed it, they're dead.
Yeah, it's not the most entertaining Let's Play, but you can at least see the end of this game.
I had to do it to satisfy a curiosity.
Yeah.
Like, what happens when you complete the game, no deaths, with an A+?
You just get a different still image at the end, or a different animation.
Let's talk about that.
It's infuriating to me, because it is exactly the same as if you do get an F.
Well, the thing is, it's the same screen, but the expressions on the family members
The expressions on some of the family members change.
I think it grades like
Lisa's always pissed at you.
Until you get A+.
She looks at the fridge and then you and like disbelief.
It's a lot of disbelief. Bart would never get an A+. That's the thing.
I always thought it was like different family members would be happy with you depending on the grades. So like D would be Homer,
and
then
you see
C would
score
be Marge
on the fridge. Yeah. But the final screen is the game over screen with the word game over removed. And the words "the end" added in.
Oh, how nice
of
them!
This is the big difference. You'll only get it if you finish the game.
Cowabunga!
That's it. Nancy Cartwright, even a little.
Well, either it's not, or they sped it up for some weird reason.
Yeah, it's if it's
Cowabunga!
Or like it's compressed and sped up. Wow,
yeah, maybe it's her. I still don't think it is.
She's not credited.
In Cowabunga, he says that in Bart Gets an F.
Bart Gets an F, yeah, so. When he's going down the stairs with his sled, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
probably the only time, no matter what the t-shirts would lead you to believe.
I mean, that did anger me, too, as a kid, of like, I worked so hard through this game, and now you're telling me I failed. It's just like... Yeah. Why are you being so mean?
And the endings aren't really that different. I mean, you get the same image of the Simpsons standing around, but their faces are sometimes different.
Yes. I gotta say, I'd rather see Mount Rushmore with Bart's head on than that.
That's much better.
And as Bart Gets an F proves, like, anything over a C- is a success for Bart.
Yeah.
Are we to believe that Bart actually made an A+ paper?
I don't think so. I mean, he found all the pages of a bad paper, you know? It should have been a D+.
And he did it through sleep.
Yeah. I don't know how. So the next segment I want to go over is a few reviews of this game. I want to do this from now on because it will show you never trust game reviews. I write them. Don't trust them because they're always wrong until 10 years later. I mean, sorry, they're always right until 10 years later. Then you're like, oh my God, what was this person thinking? So my first one is from Game Informer, and I'll read you. And this is a guy who still works there, actually.
Yeah, you're on last, buddy.
Andy
McNamara.
McNamara.
The editor. Yeah. Wow.
So listen up, Andy. You're about
to go on last, Andy.
You're under the Mackie bus now. So here's what Andy said. Bart's Nightmare is one of the most original action games I've played in a long while. This game has to be one of the best SNES carts to date. Bart's Nightmare has interesting gameplay. with graphics and sound to boot. I don't know if he's saying the graphics and sound are interesting or that they're just there.
Mm. Yeah, that's a weird collection of words there.
Yes, I'm judging your work a quarter century ago, Andy.
I'm glad my work in the game industry started after we didn't have to say, this was is one of the best carts you can buy.
Yes, please. And
this is one of the best discs you can own.
I want to call things discs or downloads. It's boring to just say game over
I enjoyed
over
this game pack. I'm not done with Andy's review. Acclaim has made this a must-have for BART fans, and that's by Andy the Game Hombre, and he gave it a 9 out of 10. So that's right. Never trust Game Informer.
It's one of the better Simpsons games, but only because they're so terrible.
That's true. Think, yeah, like,
in 1992, what were the other Super NES games
I'm glad you
played?
Asked.
Oh,
okay. This I played before on one of our shows, and it's still one of my favorites because the commercials are incredibly well animated.
Hey, kids, it's the Golden Joystick Award. The most unsportsmanlike conduct on Game Boy. Bart versus the Juggernaut. Yeah. Best superhero performance on NES, Bart Man meets Radioactive Man. Yes! Best performance on SNES, oops,
Bart's Nightmare. I don't believe it.
Hi, you little...
Look for a winning Simpsons video game for every system.
Don't forget Trusty's Funhouse.
You know what?
I mentioned it on our season 3 wrap-up, I think it was, but the commercial shows that Bart stuffed the ballot box, which kind of proves these games suck. Bart had to cheat for them to win.
Wow.
Nobody would ever win.
I really want to see like them play a clip of Bart's Nightmare and Krusty go, what the hell was that? I could have pulled a better game out of my... Hey!
You guys, look at that... look at that video, listeners, because they had the best animation.
Yeah. I'll include the video in our blog post for this episode.
It's really,
I think the Golden Joysticks is an actual award given away by Future, right? Or
from
employer.
Yeah, Future, whatever.
Do we have another commercial? A German commercial?
This is the original commercial.
Because
The Simpsons had a bunch of... It was one of the few franchises that had this. Almost every commercial is a multi-game and platform commercial.
Yeah.
And again, the big takeaway for me there is that Krusty said Genesis, NES, and SNES, not SNES.
Yeah,
SNES.
Dan Castellaneta actually uttered those words. That's
he
amazing.
Did, and they never. He would never say that on the show.
Oh, yeah.
But this is for specifically Bart's Nightmare.
Bart's Nightmare, now on Genesis with Bartzilla, Itchy and Scratchy, Homer Kong, Bartman, and more. Bart's Nightmare, now on Super NES and Genesis from Acclaim.
Boo. That's the Itchy and Scratchy music, by the way.
It
from
is.
The game.
Yeah.
Boo and boring. There is a German version of a multi-platform, multi-generation Simpsons game commercial.
DOS Nightmare.
But because it's localized, they took it upon themselves to rap.
And
it's Bart rapping in German, and I don't understand German, but I know when you're saying game platforms.
Mm. Oh.
And so for me, this is really entertaining.
Great.
Acclaim präsentiert Die Simpsons, das völlig verrückte Videospiel.
Ich bin Bart Simpson und du kommst mit mir und ziehst mit mir durch mein Revier.
Go for the game, go for the game. Das superstarke Videospiel.
Für Sega Game Gear, Master System und Nintendo Game Boy, NES und Super NES.
Zupa.
Is that new animation or from Deep Deep Trouble
video? Yeah, it looks like Deep Deep Trouble.
It's from the multi commercial for Versus the Space Mutants World in Camp Deadly.
Okay.
With a
where
couple
Bart
of things thrown in.
Bart refuses to stop playing his game in bed.
Yeah, like you don't see Bart mouthing any of this.
Yeah, that's true.
But I did hear someone in German say, "The Master System!" And like that just makes me laugh so much.
If you're German, don't say the master anything. Yes. Pro tip. So I have one more review to read, and this is from Nintendo Power. I think this person no longer works there or is dead or in jail.
Well, I mean that magazine no longer exists.
That's true. That's
he no
true.
Longer exists.
I mean, someone could still be working on Nintendo Power. We don't know.
He's in a home for former and very happy Nintendo employees who can't have contact with the outside world.
That's true. We never hear from them again. So here's what George has to say. Bart Simpson has fallen asleep while doing his homework. Thanks for that information, George. You've got to guide him through 6 surreal stages and help him gather up the pages which have blown out the window and scattered in the wind.
Mm.
The character and situations in this adventure are inventive. I like all the things that Bart can do, but find him sometimes difficult to control. That's by George. He gives it a 4.2 out of 5.
It's not fair. It's not fair to make fun of writing from a long time
ago. I'll still do it though.
But I'll cut Nintendo Power a little more slack because I feel like they were told like you're writing for 6-year-olds. Yeah. Like imagine a 6-year-old reading this. So write it for
those,
them.
Those like first 2 sentences though. That's when people are like game reviews should be objective. Like.
Mm.
Don't editorialize.
Yeah. Tell us if there are graphics.
Yes. Bart fell asleep. You must get him pages.
Ah, oh, very good. There's nothing political about this.
Am I writing Pack Watch or a review? It doesn't matter.
Just pick a number between 4 and 5. So, yes.
That's what 4 is for.
Good to excellent. So, final question, really. I mean, I think we talked a bit about this, but where do you place this game on the Simpsons game scale? It's very, like... It's very weighted. On one end, we have the arcade game and Hit and Run, and then everything else is just like miles away from it. But I chose this one because I feel like it is the best of the bad games.
Yeah.
By far. And it still sucks.
Of the pre-polygonal era, it's near the top or at the top of the crap heap, other than Konami's arcade game.
And like, maybe Krusty Super Funhouse, but... We don't need to go into it. It was a game they skinned.
If you ain't playing as a Simpson, it ain't a Simpsons game.
You're playing as Krusty. I have no idea why.
And Homer and Bart appear, I guess, but that's basically it.
They stand next to one static machine, and that is it.
They're there to assassinate mice.
It's insane.
Well, it's weird that Krusty wasn't really in a Bart's Nightmare. He is. Mm-hmm. There are Krusty balloons in the Bartman stage, but no Krusty, which he's obsessed with Krusty. That's his thing. I'd put it near the top of the pack. I'd play it over several other much worse Simpsons games, but I'd never play. I went back to the list of best Simpsons games I worked on it at Games Radar, and I still was just like, man, this is such a bad. Like until the top four, it's just like this is all bad. But it's okay. I would never play it now. Also, I was struck by the cover. I forgot the cover had Green Shirt Bart, which is just like, that's weird. That's rarely ever a licensed
Green Shirt
Bart.
You don't listen to Talking Simpsons. We don't know the reason why, but in commercials, Bart will appear in a blue shirt.
Like in a Butterfinger commercial.
But and merchandise sometimes.
In merchandise. It's like a lot of stuff.
I've got a rare Green Shirt Bart. I don't know why he's green. I don't think it's bootleg at all. It's just an odd choice.
And that's not something that happens in the show ever. It's always orange.
So, Chris, where do you put this on the Simpsons game scale, considering how weighted it is?
I hate it.
You should.
I hate it, but it is the third best Simpsons game, period.
Wow, 3. Okay. Yeah. You know, you might be right, considering all the trash out there.
No way. Hit and Run, Konami.
Yep.
Virtual Springfield.
I would say the Simpsons.
One, I haven't played it and can't.
Yeah, no
I would love to.
Yeah. The Simpsons game is better than this, but it's still not fun.
And also, whatever the Crazy Taxi clone was, I keep forgetting the name.
I did play that one time.
Road Rage. Yeah.
So it's like, top 5.
And I'd play skateboarding before this.
That game doesn't fucking work. No,
it doesn't. The wrestling game is also weird.
Oh, I never play a wrestling game.
You can finally have a Groundskeeper Willie beat up
Lisa. You can watch us do it.
Yeah. So thank you so much for listening. I've been your host, Bob. I hope you find this enlightening. We're going to be doing more Simpsons games in the future, so tell me if you like this. I think I'll still do it even if you don't, so I'm sorry in advance. But just to let you know, this entire show is funded by you guys, all the great Patreon listeners. If you want to know more about how to support our show, go to patreon.com/retronauts. For just $3 a month, you can get every episode a week ahead of time and without commercials and at a higher bit rate. So if you don't like our move towards commercials as a way to survive, that's a way to support us without hearing commercials. It's very, very good. And it's less, I mean, we put out like 6 episodes a month now. So that's like 50 cents an episode, guys.
Wow. Yeah.
And I think that we're at least worth 50 cents of your money per episode. I mean, I did at least 60 cents worth of work right now.
I've given more to homeless people today.
Yeah, exactly. Please open your heart. Give to Retronauts. Patreon.com/retronauts. If you give more, there are more incentives. They're like t-shirts and stickers and stuff. And we are trying to make this a full-time business. Jeremy left US Gamer to become a full-time Retronaut. I'm just part-time, but who knows what will happen in the future. So please open your wallets and give, and we can do more cool stuff. We're upping our game. We're doing more content. I'm really happy with where we are right now. If you want to find me on Twitter, I'm Bob Servo, and I think I've said enough. But please just go to patreon.com/retronauts to find out how to help us out. Even $1 a month from you would be amazing and does a lot for us. Henry, please.
I'm HENEREYG on Twitter, and I love doing Retronauts. I am a Retronaut supporter as well. And another Patreon I both actually give money to and appear on is patreon.com/lasertime, which that is the home of our cromulent podcast Talking Simpsons. Well, the first season of it and the seasons 2, 3, and 4 specials and all future specials too, and tons of other stuff. But I just want to say Talking Simpsons, that is my main podcast these days that I appear on, that Bob hosts, and we are going through every episode of The Simpsons chronologically. Season 5 is wrapping up. We're having a lot of fun on it.
A couple surprises, you weirdos.
Oh, yeah. Big surprises coming.
I would like to say that I, too, donate to that particular Patreon.
He's never had a Patreon in his life. Never donated in his life.
But also, LaserTime has a YouTube channel, youtube.com/LaserTimeNetwork. We have streamed a lot of Simpsons games. Pretty much, I would say almost... Well, all of the console ones.
I will say everything but Road Rage.
Yeah.
Everything but Road Rage.
We did races, as we mentioned before.
And Camp Deadly.
Oh, yeah. But we did race in both Bart's Nightmare and Bart vs. Space Mutants, which were fun because they're not traditional games, so you have to find out non-traditional ways to race in them.
Yeah. Yes, that was yes. Interesting, and I believe I won.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Both times.
Oh, yeah. YouTube.com/LaserTime on that. And Patreon, if we didn't say Talking Simpsons, the first season's there. Did you say that already?
The entire first season.
And three specials, right?
Three specials.
Yeah. Hour long.
Wrap-ups that, if you like this show or Talking Simpsons or 30, 2010, to show you what the world looks like at that time. I really love doing that in between Simpsons seasons. Where did the writers leave or stay? What did they go do?
What were all the new stories on Variety?
Yes, I really want to know.
And we find like the most deepest cuts of deleted scenes anywhere. Like the Bart's versus Hitler one is one of the most amazing things ever.
Nazis on tap.
A
buried piece of Simpsons history.
You will only find that, well, I mean, it's on YouTube, but you only find us talking about that on patreon.com.
That's what's important.
LaserTime, yeah.
And you'll help me, at least, and Dave live. Isn't that important? Would you like to hear me again? Would you like to beat Brett, Henry, and Bob, sell the jingle quiz on Retro?
That's a great episode. Two micros ago. So yeah.
I love living. That's a terrible way to put it.
I endorse living.
I'm exhausted.
Yes. Thank you so much for listening. Your Patreon money makes these extra micros happen. So thanks so much if you donate. We'll see you on Monday for a brand new Retronauts. Goodbye.
And caller number 9 for $1 million. Rita, complete this quote. Life is like a box of...
chocolates.
Rita, you're cutting out. We need your answer.
Life is like a box of chocolates.
Oh, sorry. That's not what we were looking for. On to caller number 10.
Bad network got you glitched out of luck? Switch to Boost Mobile, super reliable, super fast nationwide network, and get 4 lines, each with unlimited gigs for just $100 a month. Plus, get 4 free phones. Boost makes it easy to switch. Switching makes it easy to save.
The Mueller Report. I'm Ed Donahue with an AP News Minute. President Trump was asked at the White House if Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation report should be released next week when he will be out of town.
I guess from what I understand, that will be totally up to the Attorney General.
Maine's Susan Collins says she would vote for a congressional resolution disapproving of President Trump's emergency declaration to build a border wall, becoming the first Republican senator to publicly back it. In New York, the wounded supervisor of a police detective killed by friendly fire was among the mourners attending his funeral. Detective Brian Simonson was killed as officers started shooting at a robbery suspect last week. Commissioner James O'Neill was among the speakers today at Simonson's funeral.
It's a tremendous weight to bear, knowing that your choices will directly affect the lives of others. But cops like Brian don't shy away from it. It's the very foundation of who they are and what they do.
The robbery suspect and a man police say acted as his lookout have been charged with murder. I'm Ed Donahue.